Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of GC Live Talking Tuesday Nights. South Carolina is gearing up to head down to the swamp to take on Florida after beating Vandy last week and trying to get to that seventh win. And it's an important game for multiple reasons. But when you look at the fact of what South Carolina has over these next 3 weeks, right? With Florida this week, Tennessee the week after, Clemson to close out the year. To me, and maybe you guys disagree, I know we kind of talked about this a little bit after the game on the GC Live post-game show on Saturday night, but to me, this is their best opportunity to get that seventh win. Tennessee's playing some of the best football right now in the country. Yes, they're coming off a disappointing loss to Georgia, but they are still very dangerous. Very dangerous. And with how things are playing out right now, they're still in the mix. They're still in the mix. We're going to have to wait to see how things play out with the college football playoff, but they are still in the mix and they have a lot to play for over the next 3 weeks. No question about it. And then of course, Clemson. Look, I know there's going to be some people, and this is where I'm talking about people saying maybe they disagree with me. Yes, they lost to Notre Dame. Okay. But at the same time too, kind of like what we've seen with LSU to an extent, I know you can't compare them. It's not apples to apples. Because obviously LSU just beat Alabama. But what Notre Dame has done after going through a coaching change, being able to rally back to a point where they beat a very good Clemson team. And not just beat them, but beat them handedly. So, yes, I understand it shows that Clemson's human, that South Carolina can have an opportunity to beat them. I just don't see it. I'm sorry. But with that all being said, we could talk about that if you want to. Let's focus on the game that South Carolina is playing this weekend. And joining me right now is intern Joe. Joe, I want to get your thoughts on kind of just what we talked about there. Three games to go in the regular season. Who do you view as the best opportunity for South Carolina in terms of being able to get that seventh win?
I think Florida's going to be a tougher test than people think this week. Florida's no joke, especially with Anthony Richardson. I mean, the vibe around the building is that Anthony Richardson is going to be a problem on Saturday. So I think Florida's a lot tougher than people think. Obviously, Tennessee, they're going to be super tough, especially coming into Williams-Brice. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Tennessee's good enough or that bad of a team to, let the Williams-Brice atmosphere, as good as it is, to kind of rattle them. And again, I think Clemson is definitely could be a winnable game, but I personally think it's Florida, just because of how strong Clemson and Tennessee have been this year. But also too, against Notre Dame, a lot of people, and myself included, watched that game and they looked very beatable in South Bend on Saturday night. And they did not look good in terms of stopping the run. And I mean, just defensively too, Notre Dame was able to throw the ball around, which is unlike it. I mean, Drew Pine is not the greatest quarterback in the world. He's not necessarily a world beater out there. So Notre Dame had success on offense, and I mean, their defense really couldn't stop them. So I think Clemson looks beatable too. I think that game really comes down to stopping the run, and this Gamecock defense has really struggled with that this year. And so I think, if they can stop the run, that game is definitely winnable, but we haven't necessarily seen that yet from this defense in this front seven. So, I think Florida, it comes down to stopping the run. Same thing goes, I guess, for Tennessee, stopping Hendon Hooker. And I think Florida will be a testament kind of to, see how this defense does against a really mobile quarterback. Hendon Hooker's not as mobile. He didn't really use his feet a lot against Georgia, but, you know, he still looks decent in the passing game in terms of, like, you know, because nobody looks good in the passing game against Georgia. But for as good as it is going into Athens and, you know, putting up, I mean, they lost by 3 scores, but still, like, it's a tough environment against the undoubted, undisputed number one ranked team in the country. So personally, I think it's going to be Florida, even though it's going to be a really, really tough win to get. The Swamp is very hard to win games in. We've seen that. And, I mean, with the Anthony Richardson factor, I think if it comes down to just stopping Anthony Richardson on the run, and if they can do that, kind of limit the big plays there. And, I mean, the offense needs to step up too. We've been talking about it forever, Mike. Like, this offense needs to put together some form of identity. And 31 points in the first half against Vanderbilt was something, but they didn't really score in the second half. And they're going to need to do that against Florida. And they're going to need to have more than just the big plays to win this game. And I think, you know, that's pretty much what it comes down to. Just, I mean, you got to stop Richardson. And, I mean, even if you can't win a Tennessee and a Clemson, you got to stop the run. And that's all it fuels off. And that's been the storyline all year, Mike.
And we'll get into some of those things shortly. I know that it's probably a lot of people right now watching Gamecock basketball right now. To give you a heads up, it is opening night over at CLA. It is 6-6, about just around 5 minutes into the game, and Gigi Jackson just drills a three in the corner. How about that? So we'll keep you guys updated with some of the basketball stuff going on as they're taking on SC State. But look, bottom line is this, and this isn't to overshadow basketball, and big win, obviously, for Dawn Staley and the women's team last night. Football, it's still going on. We're going to focus on that. And if you guys want to be able to get up to speed with basketball, Colin Taylor is there, and he can give you updates as well over on Gamecock Central. But we're going to talk some football tonight. And, Joe, as you mentioned with the offense, I'm going to get that number up there for people who do want to call in. Again, you know, look, I understand basketball is going on tonight, so might be a little bit slower tonight than it typically is, but that's all right because you guys can listen to this whenever you have an opportunity to. I know we have people listening on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter right now, but you can also go back onto the Gamecock Central podcast page and listen to this show in its entirety. And intern Joe, those have been doing very well, so we appreciate people who have been tuning in, listening to it on the podcast. And here's the number right now in case you guys want to call into the program, 803-567-3796. Keep intern Joe busy. I love being able to keep him busy wearing his Notre Dame shirt. All right, so intern Joe brought it up about the offense. And there's no secret. There's no secret that going back to last week, not just on this show, but multiple shows. I remember listening to 107.5 The Game. I remember seeing some of the other outlets that cover the Gamecocks. I know there are competition, the Big Spur. And LA talked about it. It was impossible. It was impossible. Even going up to the national ranks, watching ESPN on game day this past weekend, is that the offense was to a point where you couldn't sugarcoat it anymore. You couldn't sugarcoat it. And to see what they did against Missouri, it was very discouraging. And I understood the frustration from the fan base. I understood the frustration from former players, having conversations with some of those former players privately that didn't want to go on record or just their thoughts about it. And we talked about it all week. And it was justifiable. It wasn't just, okay, let's just talk about it for the sake of talking about it. No, you had to. You had to. And the comparison that we made was going into a new kitchen. Shane Beamer's kitchen, right? It's been there for a year now, year plus. New stove, new fridge, new microwave. But before you have an opportunity to look at that chandelier, that beautiful new chandelier in the middle of the kitchen, the walls painted, you're distracted by that smell, that odor. And that odor last week was the offense. So it was difficult to appreciate everything else going on. And that's what we talked about ad nauseum, saying that there were a lot of good things going on with South Carolina this season. And I know some people wanted to hit the button of panic and this. I get that. I understand. I mean, shoot, covering a pro team right here up in Boston, it was like that for years when the Patriots are still doing very well, when they were winning 12, 13 games, 14 games some seasons. So I say all that because that's just part of the fan base. Anywhere you are, that's fans. So I understood the frustration. But with that all being said, Shane Beamer came out, said he was going to support his guy moving forward, and not kind of paraphrasing. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the point being is he was going to stick with the OC. He was going to stick with Satterfield. And what we saw on Saturday was an improvement. There's no question about it. And I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, their problems are solved. This is great moving forward and, you know, talk about next year. No. Those conversations, just like they are with every position, every year, those conversations will happen at the end of the season. So what we saw from USC this past weekend is exactly what we needed to see. It's exactly what we needed to see. And I think the big thing was just being able to see some type of progress, right? To make you feel better about this team and where they are. Because again, that kitchen, a lot of improvements, especially in comparison to 24 months ago, right? So I say all that because you go out there against a Vanderbilt team that you should win against, no question, right? But they did things offensively that we just hadn't seen all season. And I want to go back and actually show you guys exactly what I put out during the game, because I think it was just telling, going back to the conversations that it took place all week, right? Whether it be from the fan base, listening to some on 107.5, the game that called in, Gamecock Central on the forum, or on this very program right here last week, listening to you guys, wanting to see Bell more involved, or just seeing some. And this was the message that I put out, the tweet, and I said, less than 7 minutes into the game, both Bell and Joyner have touched the ball. For the first time this season, South Carolina has scored touchdowns on the first two drives from scrimmage. Think about that. Now, again, does that mean that is the plan moving forward? That you have to get Joyner the ball on the first drive, have him involved in some shape, way, or form, or get Bell the ball on that first drive? No. And as we talked about last week, yeah, I want to see Bell get the ball more. No question. But you couldn't force it. That was one thing that we talked about. Don't force it. Don't do the, what I call the DeCarrion Joyner, going back to the Muschamp era, where anytime he was on the field, everyone knew it was going to happen. He was going to run it. He was going to run it. Don't force things. They didn't force things last week against Vandy. And as a result, they made a big impact. They made a big, big impact. Intern Joe just sent this to me. We'll get into this in a little bit, but as information just continues to come out, whether it be the basketball, South Carolina hoops, men, they're up 15-7, just under 13 minutes to go in the first quarter. But Clemson has dropped 10-10, excuse me, in the rankings to 10. And intern Joe, I know there's probably some people that are paying attention to that, and if they aren't, once they release that top four, I'd be interested to see where Tennessee is. So if you can send that over to me, buddy, we will get to that. But again, and Drew, thank you for watching. Let's see what Greg has to say here. Greg says, something I hardly hear anymore. The offensive line sucks. Since 44 has gotten healthy and involved, the line seems better. Greg, we've been talking about this. I'd say even the Georgia game, I know that might sound crazy because the Georgia game just as a whole, South Carolina's offense just didn't perform well. But protecting Rattler a little bit more in that game. And then you saw the real improvement with the offense over week 4 and week 5 when they played Charlotte and SC State. We saw an improvement from the, not just the offense, but specifically the offensive line when they went up against a Kentucky team, more so in the second half, but a Kentucky team that going into that game ranked top 20 in the country defensively. A&M. There were some issues with the offense. Got things going in the second half. Offensive line doing a much better job. We know what happened against Missouri, okay? We know what happened against Missouri. And it wasn't just the offensive line, but the offensive line, that's probably one of their worst games all season. If not, one of the worst, going back to the first couple of games of the year when they started off 1-2. But no, I agree. The offensive line has not been the issue this year. It has not been the issue. They're running the football much better. I know that Marshawn Lloyd was banged up, didn't play last week. We'll have to wait and see the impact that he'll have this week if he's able to go. And if he is able to go, what will that look like? What will that look like? But I'm glad you brought up Nate Atkins, because Atkins has been an absolute beast. And it goes back to the summer when Nate was getting ready, coming on in, and I had a conversation with his father, Greg Atkins, offensive line coach for USC. And one thing that just really stood out when I talked to him, I said, this is going to be a special opportunity to be able to coach your son. You know, I was fortunate when I was in high school to have played for my dad, but I can't even imagine what that must be like in college. Especially when you're a college coach, you're not able to maybe go out, and especially different parts of the country, right? His son going to high school in this state, or the last couple of years playing at a different school. You're not able to see him in person play. That's not easy. That's rough as a father. And I know there's a lot of people out there that make sacrifices with their job, but to have the opportunity to be able to watch your son on game day, but more importantly, just those small interactions, being able to live in the same city. But when I brought that up, first thing Greg said was, he's not just going to be here to wear a jersey. He can play. He's going to make an impact. And the beauty of the way that he plays from the blocking standpoint, and that's not saying he can't catch the ball, but his impact this season, no question, the most impactful has been in the blocking game. And South Carolina has needed that. They have needed that throughout the course of the season. They needed that when the offense was struggling to click, being able to bring an extra guy down. And I've said this before, going back to last week, trying to make sense of why Jaheim Bell wasn't on the field as much. And again, that's not to say that I fully agree with it, but we've seen the impact Atkins has had from a blocking standpoint. And perhaps when you hear Beamer mention it, you hear Marcus Satterfield mention it from a personnel standpoint. Again, not saying that I necessarily agree with it, but trying to make sense that if they felt they needed a tight end out there that could block a little bit better, perhaps that's why we've seen Atkins out there a little bit more than Bell. Now, again, we know the impact Bell has anytime he has the ball in his hands. Go back to last season, especially the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and we've seen that this season when he does get the ball. So this is past weekend. But I think that's one of the reasons. So, Greg, I'm glad you brought that up. Linus, beautiful throw by Dak. Yeah. And I'll tell you what. Look, I know there's going to be people out there. I'm not saying everybody. But as soon as that play happened, why isn't Dak playing more quarterback? Why isn't he throwing the ball more? At the end of the day, Spencer Rattler throws one of the prettiest balls that South Carolina has seen in quite some time. And when he's on the same page as his receivers, guys are getting open, you give him some time, what we saw this past weekend speaks for itself. I have no issue, though, with South Carolina throwing Dak in there. I think the challenging part is trying to throw him in there, not for just the sake of throwing him in there, but also trying not to get Rattler's rhythm off, throw his rhythm off. That's always a challenging part. You're trying to get that feel. We've talked about that so much with this offense, and I know a lot of that will be directed towards Marcus Satterfield, right? Because naturally, when you're the offensive coordinator, I understand that. But that feel of the game, there's multiple layers to it. And when you are bringing up the possibility of throwing a changeup by putting a different quarterback out there, that's part of it. Having a feel for when to do that. And this past weekend, it was perfect. It was perfect. Now, it was an interesting way that the play kind of played out, but at the end of the day, it's not a beauty pageant. Just find a way to get it done. And South Carolina was able to do that. And Dak has been incredible. When he threw that touchdown pass at that point, going back to the Duke's Mayo Bowl last season, 10 for 10, 228 yards, two touchdowns. I know that he had a couple more passes on Saturday. I think he finished, 3 for 4? But, again, being able to get Dak out there on the field, he's a difference maker. He's a difference maker. Juice Wells, I mean, go back to everything that we talked about on Gamecock Central. I told you this guy was going to be a game changer. We're seeing that. Got to keep finding ways to get him the ball. Keep finding ways to get him the ball. Intern Joe says, all right, give you guys a heads up as to what's going on with the college football playoff that was released tonight. Clemson drops to number 10 in the rankings. Your top four, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, and at number 5 is Tennessee. We could discuss that. I'll have intern Joe hop on in a minute because I'm sure he has some thoughts on that. Bottom line, though, is you look at that. Georgia has an opportunity to run the table. They went out, they're in. And they're not just in, they're going to be the number one seed. Unless Ohio State and Michigan both go undefeated until the final game of the season. And if that game's close, do we see, and we've seen it before in the SEC, do we see a possibility of both Ohio State and Michigan making it in to the college football playoff? A little bit different than the SEC. And the reason I say that is because we've had teams from the East and the West play, right? And Alabama sneaks in. Same year Georgia makes it. This is a little bit different because Ohio State and Michigan in the Big Ten, they're in the same division as well. So I'm interested to see how that kind of plays out. TCU, there's been a bunch of teams ranked in the Big 12 this year. And I'm not sitting here saying the Big 12 is a sneaky good conference, but I don't know. That resume is not as ugly as maybe the last couple of years in the Big 12. So they have a strong argument to make. And with Tennessee, I mean, look, based on those five teams, I would tell you Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and Tennessee. I would. I think that win against Alabama is still freaking impressive. Tennessee has to run the table, though, these next 3 weeks. No hiccups. Can't struggle against South Carolina in 2 weeks. Because if there's any struggle by the Vols, TCU runs the table, and some of these, it's going to be tough. I still feel like Ohio State, Michigan, one of those teams not going to be in the top four. So maybe TCU does sneak in. We'll have to wait and see. Clemson, again, down at 10. Unless something crazy happens, I can't see the Tigers in this year's college football playoff. Looking at a couple more comments, we'll get intern Joe back on with us. Zachary, I like the fact we threw the ball down the field. I feel like they have been lacking that this season. I think the big thing with just working the ball down the field, we've been seeing from South Carolina a lot of screens this season. And I think the main reason why is because they've struggled, more so early on in the year, to create separation down the field. And I think the offensive line was still working through some things, and more so with just building a rapport with Rattler. And I think you can look at it more so the other way around. It's the same thing, essentially. But Rattler developing that rapport with the O-line, knowing when to step up in the pocket, knowing when to get out of the pocket. It just seemed like it was all out of whack early on in the year because the timing was just different from what Rattler is accustomed to when he was at Oklahoma. And as the season's gone on, that rapport has developed. It looks better, looks stronger. And as a result, this past game, especially with the game plan, which I liked a lot. Not saying everything was perfect, but I liked the game plan, which was just get the ball to your playmakers. I think the big thing, though, is continuing to find ways to stretch the field, stretch the field. Rattler has a quick hand, right? Can get that thing out. Throws a tight spiral, quick release. And I feel like that's why we saw a lot of screens, short passes, on top of the other reasons that I brought up a little while ago. But when you can create separation down the field, we saw what happened this past weekend. Intern Joe, I'm going to have you hop back on.
Yeah.
We'll get your thoughts on the college football playoff shortly. But just looking back to this past week, and what were some of the things that stood out to you about the offense and what they were able to do?
I mean, offensively, I was a little bit more impressed than I have been in recent weeks. I think the offense looked a little bit more together, a little bit more put together. They looked a little bit more in sync. They were able to connect on a lot of the big plays, and that showed there were a lot more of them than I saw in Vanderbilt than we saw in recent weeks. Now, obviously, there were some complaints, again, with the play calling. I wasn't too impressed with how they did backed up against their own goal line. But, you know, I think overall it was a pretty good game plan. There's still spots in there that you really got to tune up, especially against Florida and against Tennessee, let alone Clemson. But, I mean, offensively, I think Spencer, they did a good job of, you know, getting Spencer the ball and allowing him to make plays, allowing him to make the throws that he knows he can make, and allow him to, you know, kind of get out of the pocket. Let him do a little bit more with his feet. Let him make a little bit more of the choices, really. And I think that's where he's most comfortable. I mean, he was improvising a little bit at Oklahoma. You know, Lincoln gave him plenty of options to run with his offense. And I think now he's starting to get a little bit more of the options, and Satterfield's letting him play a little bit more, which is doing wonders for his confidence, I think. And I think, you know, they got to run the ball. Missing Marshawn is, you know, it's a big thing. And, you know, I don't necessarily know if he'll play this week. My take on Marshawn, the knee bruise, it's awful for running back, and, you know, it's a big deal. And I think, you know, Marshawn will probably, in my eyes, I think Marshawn dresses, and, you know, we might see him on a knee basis, try to get him as healthy as possible for Tennessee. But I don't know. We'll see. I think, you know, against Florida, you have to run the ball no matter who it is, whether it be Juju, whether it be, you know, Christian Beal-Smith. Shane was asked today, you know, in terms of like a depth standpoint, that, you know, what are you going to do with running back? And he's like, well, we're exploring all options, really. Juju's healthy, which is a big thing. He's, you know, an SEC caliber running back when he can get outside, get out and get some confidence going downhill. Not necessarily the back that Marshawn Lloyd is, the big power back that, you know, the Gamecocks are used to seeing, and, you know, the Kevin Harris type of player. But offensively, I think, you know, it's an improvement. Vanderbilt was an improvement. They're taking baby steps, sure, but I mean, it's a step forward is a step forward. I don't think we've really seen a step back since Georgia or Arkansas, really. You know, we've seen general progression through and through. And I mean, obviously Mizzou wasn't pretty. They couldn't really do much offensively, and Missouri has a really, really good defense. That defensive coordinator that Eli Drinkwitz hired has been a absolute, you know, lottery ticket for them. Like, he's been insane. And really help that program and help Drinkwitz kind of keep his job, really. But, you know, I think offensively they're, you know, making baby steps, and that's really all that matters. And Florida, they're going to need to take a massive step if they want to win this game.
And as we take a look, Joe, at that college football playoff ranking that you mentioned, the reason I want to bring this up, I understand South Carolina is not in it, but the reason why I want to bring it up is because they have two teams that they are playing over the next 3 weeks who are in the top 10. And with Clemson and Tennessee, especially Tennessee, but we just don't know how things are going to play out these next couple weeks. I don't see Clemson sneaking back in to the college football playoff, but again, you never know. I mean, Ohio State, Michigan, if they run the table and they have to play each other at the end of the year, if it's a blowout, right? If Tennessee loses another game, right? And so there's ways where Clemson can sneak back in, maybe to number six, right? I don't know if they get higher than that to finish out the regular season. But the point being is they have a reason to play, right? And it's not saying that they didn't have one before. Of course they did. But now if they want to have any type of hope, and playing in the ACC championship game will help them because they'll have an extra game. They have to run the table.
Absolutely. And Mike, so, I think absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Clemson, again, if Clemson wants to get in, there needs to be absolute chaos. I think TCU kind of controls their own destiny. They've got Texas this weekend. Baylor's no joke either. Looking at it here, I mean, so they've got Texas, Baylor, and Iowa State left. Those are all really, really tough games. So if TCU, like, they're the back half, these last three games are going to prove if they're a playoff team or not. And Ohio State and Michigan, that always comes down to, you know, them playing each other. I personally think it'll be one or the other, no matter how that game goes. That's always the Big Ten. That's always going to be the Big Ten representative in the playoff. And I mean, UGA has looked like world beaters this year. They also control their own destiny. It's pretty much, you know, play like Georgia and they should be just fine. And again, I think, you know, looking at the teams that are like just outside, like Tennessee, like they will most likely get in if they win out, and their schedule going forth, I mean, they've got South Carolina, they've got Missouri, they've got Vanderbilt, all winnable games for sure for them. So they also, you know, it's like Georgia, they can't really screw up. They can't really trip on their own feet. And, you know, they should be in a really good position to make the playoff. I do think there will be two SEC teams that will make the playoff because of the Ohio State and Michigan thing. And also TCU, I don't necessarily think they can get through all three of those games, but I mean, it's up to them really. And looking at Tennessee at five, I think they get in. Oregon makes a really good case. They also have to finish down the stretch, but you know, again, I think Tennessee is, they have to finish out. They have to win. And South Carolina, if South Carolina gives them a game, it'll also raise a lot of questions on their validity in terms of, you know, because if Oregon makes a really good run, if LSU runs the table and happens to win or by any means makes the SEC championship game a game, right? Like, so if Tennessee struggles.
And Joe, let people know where LSU is, because they're a team that people should keep an eye on.
LSU's at seven. And then so the back half of the top ten, it's Tennessee, Oregon, LSU, Southern Cal, Bama, and then Clemson for the top 10.
LSU is going to be an interesting team. Again, I don't want to get too carried away with talking about other teams here. The reason why I wanted to mention Tennessee and obviously Clemson is just because South Carolina needs to play those two teams. Tennessee, they don't have any wiggle room. But LSU, I mean, look, again, a team at the beginning of the season, not exactly the same, but we talked about how Notre Dame went through growing pains. LSU missed extra point from being a team that should have another win. And if they do, I mean, they're probably tonight in the top four. But they went out. They play in the SEC championship game. They beat an undefeated Georgia team, assuming that they'd be undefeated in the SEC title game. They could sneak on in. They could sneak on it. And we've seen this before. We've seen teams come on late in the season. I understand they have, what, two losses, Joe? One really, really bad one in there. But Tennessee's not a bad team. Tennessee's not a bad team. So I bring all that up. I bring all that up, though, because, look, these next couple weeks, it's going to be a lot of fun from a college football standpoint. No question about it. I do want to get to our good friend, SC Scout Guy. If Marshawn can't play, why have we not seen any of the other actual running backs other than Juju and CBS instead of Bell being used there? I'd like to see Carroll or Amos get some carries. I think what it goes back to is, again, trying to make sense of it. Not saying this is the case, but I just think what they like what Bell does. And I'll say this, okay? Give credit to how Bell has handled himself over the last couple weeks, right? I know the family has been probably more vocal than him, at least publicly. And because of that, there's been a lot of chatter with the fan base. And I'm sure there's been things that he's had to have conversations with the coaching staff about, you know. But the point being is this. He's been an absolute pro. He's handled his business, at least from the outside looking in. So give him credit for that. He showed out this past weekend, but what should not be overlooked, he's essentially playing, I mean, goodness, tight end, receiver, because when he's split out, and I'm sure he's being asked to do things that some of these tight ends aren't being asked to do, and then he's playing running back. And when you look at the tight end position, you can look at all three, but especially the tight end and running back position, they're not the same when you're talking about the angles from a blocking standpoint. So to not only just be as talented as he is to be able to do all three, but to be prepared in how he performed the other day from a blocking standpoint, right? Playing that running back position, because it wasn't always carry, carry, carry or swing pass. There were times where he had to block at running back. It's a totally, totally different angle. So I give him a lot of credit, again, for pretty much everything, how he's handled things, but really liked how he stepped up at that position. But to go back to your question with Carroll and Amos, I don't know the situation right now with Carroll. I know he's been in three games. I think it's been more so with special teams. I think sometimes, you know, you look at the depth that they have, and it's Juju's talented. Juju's talented. Are they using him the right way? And when I say the right way, what are his strengths? We saw him do some special things last year, and that's not to say he's not doing special things this year, but the running back room is it's a little different this year. It's a little different, right? Especially when Marshawn's out there, he kind of gets buried there. And when CBS, of course, is healthy, just finding ways to use him. I'd like to see Amos out there a little bit more, and that's not a shot against Carroll by any means, but I thought he did a lot of good things in the spring game. To the point that made me say, wow, okay, we know about Juju. We have seen CBS and what he did at Wake Forest. Got a little taste of it in the spring game. More so with short yardage situations than anything else. And then Marshawn, it was just a matter of, okay, is he going to be healthy enough to do the things that we've been waiting to see him do since arriving here because of his unfortunate injury a week in to preseason camp his freshman year. So I say all those things because I was like, man, I'm interested to see Amos out there. Personally, if I had to pick between the two, I'd like to see at least a little bit more Amos. Do I think that's going to be the case? Maybe not. And I think one of the reasons why is because if they feel like they're struggling to get multiple weapons on the field, right? You heard Shane Beamer mention this last week at last week's press conference. Okay, you have Juice, you have Bell, you have this, you have Brown. You're trying to be able to get all those guys on the field at once by putting Jaheim at running back, especially if you feel like he can get it done from a blocking standpoint with those angles at running back. If you feel like he can do that by putting him out there, now you have a dynamic running back out there. Now you have someone that can go out, make catches. He could do things out in the flat, right? Because a lot of those angles, bubble passes, screen passes, short passes, a lot of it is similar to what he'd be doing from a tight end standpoint. He can run the football. So I feel like, you know, that's probably why we're seeing Bell out there, because they're trying to find ways to be able to use and utilize the weapons that they have. And we saw that last week. Again, going back to some of the things that we were talking about before, how they got Jaheim Bell more involved early, how Dak was out there throwing a touchdown pass. CBS had a rushing touchdown. And then, of course, Josh Fan had a touchdown too. And then that goes without saying with what Juice Wells has done all year. So I bring these things up because I feel like they're trying to still figure out how to maximize the talent that they have. And I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of people saying, oh, they don't have the talent. No one is saying, okay, no one is saying that they have SEC East title talent. No, okay? The national reporters that don't cover this team, if they're saying stuff like that, they're not paying attention. They're not paying attention, okay? It's so freaking easy to look at something and be like, well, okay, you know, I'm telling you right now, that's not the issue with this team. Can they be better at certain positions? Certainly. The depth at wide receiver this year in comparison to a year ago, it's not even the same. It's not even the same. It's nowhere close to it, okay? So they have the talent. They have the talent. And we saw from this past week, from an offensive standpoint, and it still wasn't pretty consistently, okay? Too many penalties, too many missed opportunities still, but they capitalized on a lot more than we've seen over the last couple of weeks. Intern Joe, I know you probably have some thoughts on that. I do want to try to get to some of these questions. I'm falling behind just a little bit.
All good. But, yeah, I mean, personally, out of the running back room, like I like the Carroll point. I think Lavoisier Carroll is going to be a really, really good running back for South Carolina down the road. I don't necessarily know if he's the option right now. I like your Amos take. I think, you know, he's, I guess, the next guy up. Today, I don't know anything about CBS's injury, but today he was in the facility with a walking boot, and I'm sure that's just precautionary. I'm sure he'll play at Florida. I think he and Juju will be the guys, but I think Amos is the next guy up. I think Lavoisier Carroll is just kind of he's earned a red shirt. Correct me if I'm wrong, yeah. But Lavoisier Carroll will be the guy down the road. I think he'll be a really, really good running back for South Carolina just in the future, and he's just got to learn, practice, kind of get his reps up.
Yeah, and look, you know, he did redshirt over at Georgia mm-hmm. last season. He's appeared in 3 games, and I think that the thing is just that they have so many talented guys at running back. They really do. I mean, it goes without saying. Okay, Marshawn Lloyd. Again, that goes without saying. When Christian Beal-Smith is healthy, as we saw from him this past week, especially that huge 52-yard run where he just kept his feet chopping and he did some good things. We saw that. Juju, when he's able to get things going, when they use him, again, the right way. And when I say, what is the right way? I think we're still trying to figure that out. It goes back to last season. I think that's why I say that, because there was just more explosive plays with Juju, it felt like. And I think, you know, with this offense, because of the inconsistencies at times, what we saw, of course, against Missouri, there's been this struggle to really find that identity. I think the identity is a team that wants to be able to run the football, but we've also seen at times getting away from the run, and we've seen how it's kind of just deflated them, for a lack of a better phrase. So I just bring that up because I think they're still trying to figure some things out. Terrence, I know you mentioned about, you know, possibly seeing Dak and Luke. Look, I don't rule it out this weekend. I don't rule it out this weekend that we could see some more Dak, possibly some Luke. I think the interesting thing is with this Gamecock team is that, again, when you look at these next 3 games, I feel like Florida is their best bet to get that 7th win. I think Tennessee is going to be extremely difficult. I think it's going to be even harder now with them losing to Georgia. And I can't see it right now against Clemson. I just can't. I know some people are going to get their hopes up after seeing them lose against Notre Dame. While Clemson's offense has gone through its own issues this year, and there could be a possibility that Jeff Scott makes a return to Clemson in the future after being fired this past weekend at USF after a disappointing 3-year stretch over there, only had 4 wins. I bring that up because their defense is still very talented. And with the inconsistencies throughout the season with South Carolina's offense, I can't sit here and say, okay, I can see them not just going out there and beating Clemson, but going up against that defense at Memorial Stadium on the road. I can't see that right now. But there's still 2 weeks before that. They have an opportunity again. And I think that's what everyone wants to be able to see this week, Joe, is that they want to see what they were able to build upon last week against Vanderbilt and be able to carry that over down to Gainesville. They want to be able to see that good come out early on. They want to be able to see South Carolina utilize the weapons that we were talking about, getting Josh Fan involved in the game more, being able to get Jaheim Bell the ball, Juice Wells continuing to feed him. You have a lot of talented guys. This is what I'm talking about. They have a lot of talented guys. And I'm not one of those people that feel like, oh, they have too much talent. You know, that's the issue. Come on. That's not the issue. Okay? When you're getting paid X amount of dollars, that is your job to find a way to get a piece of the ingredients. You know, each player is a little piece of the ingredient, and getting them into the mix and being able to cook up this meal, if you will. So I don't think that's the issue. But Dak, Luke, look, I think Dak has proven himself. And the good thing, too, is you've put it on tape now.
Oh, yeah.
He put it on tape last year, but you put it on tape this year now with Dak. And even if Dak doesn't come out and plays this weekend, Florida is going to have to spend even more time. They're probably going to spend time on it, or or were going to spend time on it already because of what happened last year. But now you have to spend even more time preparing for it because you saw Dak out there. And you didn't just see Dak out there running the ball like we saw on that third down situation in week three against Georgia. But you've seen him go out there and throw the football again. And it wasn't like, okay, Duke's Mayo Bowl, they caught him off guard. No, teams are preparing for this. 3 for 4, first pass, touchdown pass. Dak brings different wrinkles to this offense. There's no question about it. Luke Doty brings different wrinkles, especially when he's healthy. And I think some people that are like, well, you know, I don't know if Luke can do. Why? Why? Because his freshman year, when it was an absolute circus, when the head coach was being fired, and you had Bobo out there, and they didn't know what the heck they were going to do. They had one freaking receiver that could constantly get open, and that was Shai Smith, and kind of like a youth basketball player who's not that good with his left hand. Once you took away his right as a dribbler, they couldn't do anything with their left. Once you took away Shai Smith, South Carolina couldn't do anything in the passing game. Yes, Kevin Harris was talented. Yes, he led the SEC in rushing yards with over 1,000 that season. But the issue with South Carolina in that 2020 season was that they didn't have depth at wide receiver. They didn't have guys getting open once you took out Shai Smith. So I'm not going to put that on Doty. Last season, he gets hurt. Should have played last season. He fought through it. Fought through it after having that foot injury. Okay? That foot injury, though, he comes back. He's not the same guy. He's not the same guy when he isn't able to be mobile, when he's not able to use his feet. So, look, we haven't seen him take meaningful snaps this season. But from based on what I've been told from him in practice, he's not thinking about that injury. And we've talked about that before with Marshawn Lloyd, with the ACL injury. And sometimes when athletes come back, especially with lower body injuries, you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it, and it can throw off the way you play. So I bring that up because if Joyner was thrown into the mix, if Doty was thrown into the mix, I feel like we'd get a lot out of him. I really do. I'm not saying, okay, get the Heisman Trophy ready. No. But I feel like by having him, by having Joyner, by having these different wrinkles, yeah, I could see South Carolina using that. And why save it for the Clemson game? If you feel like it can help you this week, do it. Just like this past week. If you feel like it could help you against Vanderbilt, you're going to do it. And that's exactly what they did, Joe. And as a result, Jordan is able to throw a touchdown pass. The momentum early on was in South Carolina's favor. And as we've mentioned before, add another one in the Beamer era against FBS teams when South Carolina is leading after the first quarter. They are now 7-1. 7-1. That includes A&M. That includes Kentucky. But the difference with those two games, Joe, this game, this past week, it was because of the offense. It was because the offense got things going early. And that was great to see.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I think Dakarion Joyner, like you said it, like teams are ready for that. Teams, when they see Dakarion Joyner on the field, they already kind of know what's coming. I mean, they showed last year kind of what Dakarion Joyner is all about, what, you know, his entire skill package really. And I'm not saying he's a one-dimensional player by any means, but he definitely helps out the offense. And Spencer Rattler is the quarterback. He had one of the highest QBRs in all of the Power Five last week. Like, he's the guy. He really, really played well last week. I was very impressed, and I thought it was his best game as a Gamecock. Like, Dakarion Joyner is there for, you know, set the special packages, and I think Luke Doty is the backup. He's the guy that's ready to go whenever. I think he's very ready to go, and he's very capable of playing if Spencer or Dakarion were to go down. And not to say he's the number three by any means. I do think he's the number two, and he's ready to go. And Doty's the testament of this program, right? Battled back and stayed here because of the culture. He's a super big culture fit and a really big leader out there at practice from what I've heard. And so I think, you know, Dakarion Joyner adds an interesting wrinkle to this offense. I think going 3 for 4 against Vanderbilt and like kind of what we saw from him, even though the touchdown looked like a broken play. I don't necessarily think it was, but, you know, Dakarion Joyner adds an interesting element. And then obviously like Spencer's the guy going forward. You can't really move away from a guy like that. And especially after the week he had last week, and you really do hope that he replicates it going into this week, because, you know, if Spencer Rattler can build on his success, it's going to be really, really good, especially off of last week. And I think Florida's defense, you know, they allow a lot of points. So Spencer has the perfect opportunity to build off of what he did last week and continue to build his resume going down the stretch. And I also think Spencer is a momentum player. Like, really, like, he builds off of good performances, and we've seen that this year. He just kind of builds and gets better every week, and that's always been the thing with him. Shane's always talked about it, like, week to week. He's always picks on something, he works on it, and then takes it with it. So I think Spencer is, you know, in a great spot, and really he's a bright spot in this offense. When things get gloomy in the run games, you can kind of rely on Spencer a little bit more. And like we talked about earlier, Mike, like I said, like, Vanderbilt looked like, in terms of like the offense, the design around Spencer looked great. I think, you know, they were letting him make more decisions, which was such a big deal. And that's why he had such a good game. And that's why he looked as good as he did, because the offense was designed around him and they let Spencer play a little bit more. And I think that's why he was successful at Oklahoma. And I think that's why he's having success here.
Let's get to our ads. Appreciate our friends over at Liberty Tax, who's one of our sponsors on Gamecock Central, as well as GC Live, every GC Live. Overcome taxiety by giving Liberty Tax a call at 803-462-5576. Intern Joe, you're becoming a big boy, man. One day you're not going to be called Intern Joe anymore. You're just going to be called Joe. And I know you're going to have to be doing your taxes a little bit more. So give them a call, as well as everyone else out there that wants to overcome their tax ideas. Today's show is also brought to you by our good friend Clint Hammond, who's been a longtime supporter of not just GC Live, but Gamecock Central as well. They do an outstanding job over at the Mortgage Network. Trying to be able to buy a home right now, it is an absolute circus. Those rates are going up. But you know what? Clint can help you out. He helped out former Gamecock quarterback Perry Orth, who spoke very highly of Clint. Give him a call at 803-576-4450, and Clint will be able to help you out. He'll make the process much easier. So appreciate Liberty Tax, as well as Clint Hammond over at the Mortgage Network. Want to be able to look at some of these comments that people have been sending in. Big Red mentioned, and I popped up some of these, but I want to get into them a little bit more. And just real quickly, too, before we get to Big Red's question, South Carolina men's basketball currently leads by 3 points at the half, taking on SC State in the season opener, the beginning of the Lamont Paris era. And not just the Lamont Paris era, but GG Jackson. He has 7 points right now, 3 for 9 from the field. Made his lone three-pointer, 4 rebounds as well. But look, you know, I'm sure there's some nerves out there. There's some nerves out there. But yeah, South Carolina right now leading by 3 at the half. And look, SC State, good God. It's been musical chairs over there since Murray Garvin was not brought back. 3 head coaches in the last 3 years for the Bulldogs. And I big fan of SC State and develop a relationship with some of the coaches over there and players. And I hate for basketball that they're going through this. And I give a lot of credit to the guys that have stuck around. That is not easy. 3 coaches in 3 years. Mm. So the fact that they are making this a game, they're coming out only down by 3 at the half. I don't care that South Carolina has a new coach. And no, I mean, that's impressive. So give the boys from Orangeburg a lot of credit. But Big Red says, I know we have depth at the skill positions. Are we holding back some to save red shirts? Well, yes. I mean, there's no question. Landon Sampson is the first one that comes to mind. Do we see him at some point this season? I'm not ruling it out, knowing that you do have an opportunity to play guys up to 4 games now and still maintain that year of eligibility. If we were to see that, though, I think that would be the bowl game. I think that would be the bowl game. Maybe a special teams player, too. I don't know, and I'm not just speaking just about Landon Sampson in this case, but we could see some guys out there maybe playing some special teams. But there's going to be some guys that, yeah, they're going to maintain their year of eligibility. It's, you know, you look at a guy, and this one goes without saying, but a guy like Corey Rucker, like, okay, obviously he's had just had surgery, but there's going to be some guys that you have to make some tough decisions about. And this goes back to a conversation I had with Pete Lembo back at South Carolina's media day back on August 4th, day before preseason camp. And that question was, well, how do you decipher that? How do you decipher when you have a guy that might be playing on special teams, but he's not playing as much on defense? Is it worth it? And he said, that's exactly where a lot of these conversations start. How much are they playing at their position, right? Offense, defense. Does it make sense to burn a year of eligibility if they're just doing that? South Carolina defensively, and Joe, I know you were there today. Beamer mentioned it today. You didn't need him to mention it, though. They are banged up on defense. They've been banged up all season. They're trying to get healthy again. And it feels like every time they have an opportunity just to catch their breath to just get a little bit healthier, there's another injury that happens. And I know they're not the only team that's that goes through injuries, right? I mean, it happens, especially this deep into the season. Every team is battling some type of injury with a handful of guys. And not just injuries, but guys that are just banged up in general. Every player that has been playing meaningful snaps at this point of the year, they're banged up in some shape, way, or form. Yeah. But I bring that up because, yeah, you might see some guys who they've been trying to maintain that year, that eligibility. And when you look at it now, okay, making this up, I'll use Landon Sampson, for example. He's an easy one to use. Yeah. Landon hasn't played at all this season. There are three regular season games left. There is a bowl game left now that you know you're going to be playing in. That's four games. You could see some guys play out the stretch that have not played one snap this season, and you still would be able to maintain their eligibility. Does that mean we're going to see Landon Sampson out there the four final games of the year? I'm not saying that's going to be the case, but what I'm trying to get at is they have that at their disposal right now. They could take advantage of that. And if you really want popsicle headaches, go back, find out, okay, how many plays has this guy played in? Okay, he's played in two games early in the year, hasn't played in over a month. Okay. And if that's the case, if they do want to maintain eligibility for some of these guys and they have played in, making this up, two games, three games, if they haven't played in a month or two, I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those guys play in the bowl game. Because to these coaches, once you're at that point, it's not saying that the bowl game's not important, but you're starting to look ahead to next season, depending on the bowl game you're playing in, right? If you're playing in, and I'm not trying to get people upset here, because hopefully it's not. You're playing in the Birmingham Bowl. That's a little bit different than playing in the whatever the heck the new Outback Bowl is down in Tampa. I can't keep up with half these freaking sponsors now in these bowl games, but you guys know what I'm talking about, down in Tampa. A little bit different, right? So I think it's going to be interesting to see how South Carolina, number one, how they go about managing their roster over these next couple weeks, knowing, again, that there are guys that have not appeared in a game this season, and they will have the opportunity to appear in all these games. Here on out, four games left, including that bowl game. And they're going to be all right from an eligibility standpoint if they want to be able to maintain that redshirt year. But, again, how do they go about that? And how do they figure out some of the injuries that they've had on the defensive side? We've seen, obviously, injuries on offense, too. We don't know what's going to happen with Marshawn. But defensively, Joe, they have been banged up. So I hope that helps out a little bit, Big Red. Don't know if you have anything to add to that, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, Darius Rush talked about it today, and I was very impressed with Darius Rush's presser. He's a testament to what kind of man he is and whatnot. But, I mean, Darius Rush talked about it a little bit today. He said, yeah, we've been banged up, but, you know, we have all the faith in the world in all these guys stepping up. And he mentioned Nick Eamon-Worry as being one of those guys. I don't think this coaching staff had any plans of redshirting Nick Eamon-Worry this year. Because Nick Eamon-Worry is as talented as it gets for a true freshman in the SEC. Like, we've seen that. Everyone knows that. But, I mean, guys like just Stone Blanton, you might have seen redshirt. And, I'm not sure his, you know, redshirt eligibility left or whatnot. But, I mean, they're banged up. And the linebacker position has taken a beating this year, Mike, an absolute beating this year. And it's tough because when you have two All-American defensive backs in Cam Smith and Darius Rush, it's hard because those guys, I mean, they're leaders on this defense, and they're able to kind of, you know, be able to, you know, lead this defense and be leaders in communication. But when you're missing linebackers at the heart and the front seven, you know, kind of directing the front seven or the front four, if you will, in the defensive line, linebacker is such a pivotal position on defense. It's going to be hard. Yeah.
And Joe, that goes into what Linus is talking about. And the reason I'm cutting you off, because I want you to keep going on about that. Linus mentions I'm concerned with the amount of rushing yards given up by our defense against Vandy. They really were able to run it. Will, Joe, we mentioned this earlier in the year, and there's some things I do want to get into about specifics about what we saw from the other night. But one of the issues we saw from South Carolina's defense early in the season is the fact that they were so banged up. They were so banged up, right? You lose Jordan Strawn against Arkansas with the ACL injury. In the same game, you lose Mo Cabba. Yeah. And you have other guys that are banged up. We know Cam Smith has missed some games. You have other guys in the secondary who have been banged up. Even though Nick Emenwori has been playing on a level that will very likely have him finish on the All-American freshman list. At the time, he's replacing a returning senior. So I say all that, Joe, because they were going through a lot of changes. And right now, okay, you're able to get healthier and you're making improvements in the run defense. And then this past week, we saw them just struggle. And again, I want to get into some of the specifics, but going off from what you were just saying and pick it up, Joe, the injuries at linebacker have played a huge role as to why South Carolina struggled the other night against Vandy's rushing attack.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Like, again, I just said it. Like, it's the linebacker, like the Mike linebacker is the leader of the defense. And when you have so much turnover, it's really hard to generate momentum. And in terms of, like, defense, you need as much communication as you can. Like, Clayton White's defense is designed for players to, you know, get in their spot and everybody know their roles and stuff like that. But you still need communication. You still need team chemistry. And I think this defense has it. They're right. They have team chemistry. It's more about once they get on the field and being able to communicate with guys. And Darius Rush and Cam Smith, they're out on the corner. They can't be directing Boogie Huntley. They can't be directing Zach Pickens, you know, kind of telling them what spots to be in because they're way out there. And again, Mike, we've been talking about it. It's the linebacker position. It's taken such a beating. And that's why we're seeing, you know, the run defense be as poor as it is. And it doesn't necessarily fall on Boogie Huntley or Zach Pickens or Jordan Birch. Like, yes, we've seen some poor performances out of those guys, but they've also been able to pick it up and turn it around, too. That defensive line group, we've seen a lot of back and forth, and I credit that a lot to Zach Pickens being able to, you know, step up and say, like, hey, we got to fix some things. And we've seen that. Mm-hmm. Like, this defensive line has really stepped up when they needed to, and when they have a bad week, the next week they come back and have a better week. And I think against Florida, I think this defensive line is really going to need to play well in terms of containing Anthony Richardson. Like, it's going to be so pivotal.
And one thing that we saw from South Carolina that they struggled against Vandy, and this was something that was a big issue for them early on in the year, they struggled, especially early in the game against Vandy, to get off blocks on the perimeter. And I know I've brought that up multiple times this season, but it really was noticeable. And what I compare it to is it's Friday night, high school prom night, right? Everyone's freaking dancing around the outside. Guys need to get off blockers. Guys need to get off blockers. They can't be out there dancing around. They need to be able to get off blocks. They have to be physical. As South Carolina State drills a three, and now it's a four-point game, and South Carolina comes right back down and drills a three of their own, G.G. Jackson. So now it is 43-36, just over 18 minutes to go in the second half. Gamecocks lead by seven now. But they have to do a better job of getting off those blocks in the perimeter. And when you have injuries, not just at the linebacker position, but you have injuries on the defensive line, there's going to be times where the defense is not either going to be in the right position pre-snap or they're not fitting their gaps the right way. And I don't want to go too technical here, but the bottom line is, right, to use a cliche saying, do your 111th, right? There's 11 guys on the defense. Do your 111th. if a linebacker, especially with some of these younger guys that are going out there, or some of the guys that don't have as much experience because they're so banged up, if they're not going to the spot that they're supposed to, right, on defending the run, they're not fitting their gap assignment, it's going to throw everything off. And it's real easy. I'm not trying to take the blame off some of the performance by the defensive line this season, because I'm not sitting here saying that they've been perfect by any means. But sometimes what you'll see is, you know, and I'll use like Zach Pickens, Huntley, whatever, they're doing their 111th. Oh, but absolutely. Because the linebacker is not fitting the run gap properly, what it looks like on tape to the naked eye, what it looks like to the fans watching at home, it looks like someone on the offense, the defensive line screwed up.
Yep.
So I bring all these things up because they all work together. And when that's already an issue, right? Again, guy's not fitting his gap. What happens? It might get spilled out to the outside. Might bounce out to the outside. And if you're struggling to get off blocks on the perimeter, it's going to make things even more difficult. So, again, this is trying to show you what's been going on from a defensive standpoint and some of the issues South Carolina has gone through. Ultimately, what it comes down to is just doing your freaking job. Do your job. If you're one of these young guys that don't know what you're doing as much, or you just don't have as many reps out there, as much experience, I understand it can be frustrating from a fan perspective. If there's any positive that you could put on it, they're getting this out of the way now. They're getting this out of their way. They're getting their growing pains out, and they're going to be coming back next season, and they're going to have an opportunity to build off of it. I know that doesn't sound great right now. I know it doesn't sound perfect right now, but there's going to be growing pains. But I also feel like, Joe, and we've seen it with Nick Eamon-Worry, I've mentioned it before, there's times where, more so in the passing game, because I just feel like the guy's not afraid to tackle anyone, he's going to still go through some growing pains. We've seen that, right? And I think it's more so with different route combinations, right? And figuring out how offenses are trying to scheme up against him and realizing, you know, combo routes and realizing double moves or option route. Like, he's learning different things as a secondary player that, you know, when you're a young guy, you don't have that time always to come out there. You're gonna have to react, and you're going to learn over time. I do want to get to some of these questions before we wrap things up here. We're over the hour mark here, and want to go spend the birthday with my ma. It's happy birthday, Kathy.
Happy birthday.
Let me see. Can anyone tell us how fast Debo is? Looks awfully slow. I don't know what his 40 is, but you know, I think that stuff's all irrelevant. Not saying that's exactly what you're asking for, Dre. I think the bottom line is, you know, and I don't know if this is the specific issue with Debo. I think what we're seeing right now, I think some guys are just trying to do a little too much because there are younger players out there. There's guys that are getting more playing time because other players are banged up. And I feel like we're seeing guys, more so at that linebacker position, some of the defensive linemen trying to do just a little bit too much, right? To use the simple phrase again, 111. I feel like they're trying to do a little too much. And because of that, when you do that, you're going to look a little bit slower out there. You're trying just to do too much. Just do your freaking job. Do your job. Again, I don't know if that's the specific issue with Debo, because I feel like we've seen Debo show off his speed. It goes back to last season, especially on special teams, and how quickly he was able to get to the block point, block some kicks, right? I don't think that's the issue. I think it's more so in between the ears and just not going out there sometimes and doing exactly, hey, that's the 111th. Seth says, our guys go into every game thinking they will win. I think we can too. With some big plays out the jump in the Beamer ball magic, who else thinks we can win out? Sorry, maybe I'm negative Nancy. I see 1-2 right now. I see that. This game, this weekend, even though you're going to be an underdog in all three of them, I think this is an opportunity that South Carolina can win to get to their 7th win this season. And if they can get 7 wins in the regular season, as banged up as they've been on defense, and the fact that they had 6 wins in year 1 under Beamer in the regular season, that's progress. that's progress. That's a step forward in the Beamer era. So me, Joe, just give me a quick number. What do you see South Carolina go in these final three games?
Mike, I like 1-2. I think, you know, you're going to need a lot of the magic if you're going to win two games. I think your best chances are Florida and Clemson again. Like, we saw it with the Jake Bentley game. Like, South Carolina always plays up to the competition when they play in Death Valley. Like, they can make some magic happen there. Like, we have seen some performances from South Carolina quarterbacks and just South Carolina teams that, like, you wouldn't expect going into that game they had any shot in the world. But they make it a game, let alone have a chance to win. So, I mean, I think Clemson, you definitely need a lot of that magic. But I'm not going to say never say never against Clemson. I think Tennessee is obviously probably going to be a loss there. And, again, you got a tough one in the Swamp this weekend. But, you know, it's definitely the most winnable game down the stretch for sure.
If South Carolina can do what they did from an offensive standpoint against Vandy early against Florida, it makes me say, okay, it wasn't just a fluke last week.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not – and I'm not trying to take anything away from the offense, but, I mean, it's tough. It's tough to look at this offense each week and assume anything anymore, right? Assume that they will be able to come out there and do what they did the week prior. And I think that's the frustrating part because, again, we've named the players. We went down the list as to who got the ball early in that game. Or guys that were making impactful plays for South Carolina in the first half. They have the talent to do it, but can you do it again this week? And if they can, okay. Now we're talking a little bit. Now we're talking. Tennessee's defense, especially their passing defense, which I know the passing game hasn't been necessarily consistent for South Carolina, but the pass defense for Tennessee is one of the worst in the country. I know that they were going into the Georgia game ranked fifth worst for pass defense. I'll pull it up right now to see what the update is for pass defense. Bring up
Michi Johnson. I saw the comment. Michi Johnson just went down. He walked off, though, thankfully.
Men's basketball to give people a heads up.
Yep, basketball. Looked all right, walked off the floor. And then they're up. South Carolina is leading SC State 47-39. GG has 12 points, 5-for-11, I believe I saw. Mm-hmm. So that's the story over there at Colonial Life. And obviously, you wish the best for Michi because he's going to be a big piece of this team going forward.
Appreciate that, Joe. And Gamecock Central's own Colin Taylor is there covering the game. So be sure to check out GC for updates right now, but also after the game. And hear comments from some of the players as well as Lamont Paris. Yeah, Tennessee right now, they're still ranked 127th in the country. That is fifth worst. And it's kind of crazy when you look at this. So, Joe, of those five teams right now, of those five teams that are towards the bottom, Ohio, the Bobcats, they're the worst. Then you have Vandy, which South Carolina took advantage of. They didn't throw for 200 yards. They did. As a team, they did.
Yeah.
With Joyner throwing out there. I kind of forgot about those yards, too. Just think about Rattler throwing for about 180. But, yeah, Vandy. Then you have Arkansas. How about that? Three worst pass defense teams. Two of them are SEC teams. That's insane to me. Wow. Then you have Cal. And then you have Tennessee. So of the five, three SEC teams, and then Charlotte, just throwing that out there, since South Carolina played them early on in the year. But Tennessee's allowing just under 300 yards passing a game. Sure. So, you know, I'm not saying that Tennessee's, this is how South Carolina, you know, they're going to beat them but they have their flaws. We saw that certainly this past weekend against Georgia. But with that all being said, what it comes down to is two big things. One, being consistent on offense. Two, stopping the freaking run. Stop the freaking run. That's what it comes down to. I want to see SC Scout guy talk about Johnson. We just mentioned this down on the floor in pain. Yep. I'll just give one last update on basketball. They are currently leading SC State by 10, 51-41. believe there's, what, 15 minutes to go now? They just went to commercial break.
Looks like it's under control there. Should be under control there. Just get the ball to Gigi. Let him work.
All right. Well, that's going to do it here for us for GC Live Talking Tuesday Nights. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I think we might have a special guest next week. I think we might have one. I'll keep you guys posted on that. Going to work on getting a very special one. If not next week, hopefully the week after. But I think, look, bottom line is this. You have to go down to the swamp. You have to take that fan base out early. And I think the interesting thing for South Carolina is it's been quite some time, number one, that they've gone down to the swamp and won. I believe it was 2014, Joe. Could be off with that. I think it's 2014.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have the opportunity to beat them in back-to-back years, which also is something that may be around that same mark. Again, we're talking about South Carolina trying to make progress and show, okay, this is what we've done. Going back to last season with recruiting and this and that, to beat a team like Florida, who also went through a coaching change this past offseason, right? So you have a team that's doing something or trying to replicate what you did last year. And the East, as we're seeing with Tennessee, Georgia, of course, it's not an easy division. I know people, the SEC West. I get that. I get it. The East it's getting better. It's getting better. So I think, look, bottom line is this. If you want to be able to point to, okay, hey, this is the things that we're doing in South Carolina. This is what's going on, right? We appreciate that, Linus. You need to take advantage of opportunities like that. How many times have we been freaking saying that this year, right? You're a ranked team. Going up against Missouri, take advantage of it. Laid an egg. Kentucky, yeah, you beat them. You beat them. You need to continue to do stuff like that. You have an opportunity. Beat Kentucky. They did that, okay? Which South Carolina team are we going to see this week? That's the million-dollar question. That is the million-dollar. Which South Carolina team will we see this weekend? And, Joe, looking at those, looking at the matchup between South Carolina and Florida, the last time the Gamecocks went down in Gainesville and won, 2014, as we mentioned. But the last time that they beat South Carolina, the last time South Carolina beat Florida in back-to-back years, 13-14. 13-14. The other time, 10-11. So, and then you could go back to the they didn't play back-to-back years, 36-39, okay? But the last time that you beat South Carolina in back-to-back years, it's only happened twice. It's only happened twice. And again, no disrespect to the huge 1936 win 7-0 and the 1939 win 6-0. But back-to-back years, and those games weren't even, they were both in Columbia. You've only done it twice. You've only done it twice where you've beat the Gators, who they've dominated this series against you. 29 wins to 10, 3 ties. This is a huge opportunity. Huge opportunity. Joe, appreciate you being with us.
Absolutely. Well,
check one more comment from our guy, SC Scout Guy, because he is a loyal listener. We appreciate you, buddy. He says, my secret hope is that we find a way to beat UF and then against Tennessee or Clemson, that Spencer has the Heisman type game we all hoped he would be able to have when we knock them off. Bottom line is this, and you said it, you got to beat Florida this week for multiple reasons, but you got to beat Florida this week and get things going with the offense again, okay? Get things going with the offense. We saw some of that Lembo magic, okay? No disrespect to Beamer ball. I feel like you got to call it Lembo ball. I feel like you got to call it Lembo ball. Lembo has done a phenomenal job. He has been worth every penny. And look, there's some really talented coaches on that staff. Justin Stepp in particular, Clayton White. We can just go down the list. But Beamer's best hire was Pete Lembo.
Oh.
It's hard to dispute that. He should be named to the Broyles Award list, best assistant coach in the country. He should win that award, in my opinion, for what he's doing. Appreciate you guys watching tonight. Get yourself some sleep. Basketball games going on. If you guys want to check that out, SEC Network, Joe, right? Not the Plus, correct?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, SEC Network. And then shout out, happy birthday, Miss Eula.
Appreciate that. Not sure how I feel about you saying that. It doesn't kind of comes across a little creepy, Inter Joe, but the heart's in the right place. That's all that matters. Appreciate you guys tuning in tonight. Intern Joe, get the hell out of here. Everyone, have yourself a good Tuesday night. Enjoy the game this weekend. We will catch you guys after the game on the GC Live post-game show. If you missed Mixing a Water yesterday with former Gamecock receiver Michael Flint, we talked about the offense much more, gave his perspective on it, also talked about some of the issues he's seen with the secondary, getting off those blocks and what they can do a little bit differently, bringing a receiver's perspective into it as someone that had to go out and block guys on the perimeter. And this weekend, Perry Orth will be back with us after the game. So again, we'll see you guys Saturday night on the GC Live post-game show.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.